Eric Sensman, professional ultra runner here. As some of you might know, I'm sponsored by Rabbit, a super rad men's and women's performance running apparel brand from California that was founded by two female runners. All the stuff is so damn soft, versatile, and comfortable, and at the same time, technical and functional. My favorite things to wear are the FKT shorts, because I can load everything into the four pockets along the waistband. I also love the Easy Tee, which actually comes in both a short and long sleeve. For my cold weather needs, I always throw on the Letter Zip hoodie, because it's the best running jacket I've ever run it. They're letting me give all you listeners 20% off your first purchase. Go over to runinrabbit.com and use the discount code FKT at checkout.
Welcome back to the Fastest Known Podcast for 30 minutes every Friday. Well, actually, this week it might go longer than 30 minutes because we have a special year-end podcast on the Fastest Known Time of the Year Award. This is our fourth year for the FKT of the Year, and to discuss what's new and cool, or boring or stupid, or maybe just amazing, we have two esteemed gentlemen. We have Mr. Andrew Skirka, possibly the only known professional hiker in the world, who also is an outstanding ultra runner. He did terrific at Ultra Tour du Mont Blanc and many other races, and he's done amazing FKTs from the Alaska Yukon Expedition to the Great Western Loop, and many others in between. So welcome, Andrew.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And I should note, I am going to note, that a lot of people ask about backpacking, hiking, and through hiking, and so forth. And if you want to know how to do it, go to andrewskirka.com. That's the ticket. And people ask me this all the time. They ask me for tips, techniques, what gear to use. And I'm just going to put the plug in. Andrewskirka.com lists everything, these immaculate gear lists, food lists for different seasons. So consider doing that. Our other guest, you've heard of before, co-founder of FastestKnownTime.com, Peter Backwin. I could go through a long bio for Peter, but we don't really have to do that because besides that Peter hates long bios, we're here to talk about other people this week. So thanks for being here, Peter.
Good to be with you guys. So, and that thing about Andrew's website, it's amazing. I use it all the time. So, and he's got all these super cool, route descriptions and maps and everything. It's just the amount of content on there that you can get for free or almost nothing is incredible.
Right. It's actually kind
I'm
of weird.
I'm so flattered by you guys.
Well, I
but
mean,
let's move into FKT.
I know, that's how it goes. People hate talking about themselves. But the reason I said that, the reason you said that is because people don't realize that it's a good free site for, you know, figuring out how to do this stuff.
Yep.
Okay. So let's start with Andrew. What moved you or what didn't move you? What's on your list? And You've seen it. You're one of the voters, so you saw the nominations list.
Yeah, I think the ones that always appeal to me are the ones that combine obviously the physical aspect of a traditional FKT, but add some like a very adventurous element to it. So the standout trip for me was the speed record on the Wind River High Route, which is remarkable, like 100 mile predominantly off trail route through the winds. I think it has about 30,000 vertical feet of gain over 100 miles,
but that's tough gain.
And it's 2/3 off trail, and it only drops once it gets started. It only drops below 10,000 feet once. And when I saw that on the list, you know, doing that in 51 hours.
51 hours and change.
And yeah, it's just a sort of remarkable like athletic accomplishment, but still had that like very like adventurous spirit. So that's definitely the sort of trip that gets me interested.
It got your attention. Well, I might note that was done by David Ayala. Actually, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. But the Wind River High Route is something that was first attempted in its entirety by the three of us. So this is something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. First completed, I think, by Andrew.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we got pretty close, and you asked me if we needed to bring microspikes. I said, nah. And it turned out we did.
Oh, and ice axes. And...
yeah. Yeah, but you and I worked at right where we're recording this podcast, this very table.
That's right.
With that cat in the background. We had the map spread out over the entire table, and we worked out that route. It's a fantastic route.
Yeah. It's actually, it's kind of amazing to, like, to think about, like, the trend in high routes. Like, to think that, so that was what, probably like 4 or 5 years ago, that we're sitting at this table, like, plotting that thing out. And then they've become, like, some of them become, like, enough of a trade route that people are, like, going out and, like, trying to do it in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
as opposed to doing it at all.
At all, right. I mean, like, when we went out and, like, you know, when we went out and did that, like, there were a lot of, like, big question marks about what we were going to encounter. And, you know, I think the whole route had been done before. And, you know, I think between the three of us, we had done most of it, too, before. But there are a few question marks where we're like, what exactly are we going to find there? And especially, at, like, I think we were there, what, like, early June or mid, or, I'm sorry, no, it was middle of July.
Middle of July.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there are some question marks about what we would encounter. And, you know, there aren't those question marks anymore about
that's because of you.
Yeah.
That's because of your AndrewSkirka.com. That's
something to do with that.
Yeah, but, I mean, you just put these exhaustive descriptions on it, these GPX files, these maps.
I don't put GPX files up.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Map and compass.
Map and compass.
Well, I mean, you could make a GPX track if you wanted to, but I think on a route like that, it's irresponsible to put up a GPX track because, like,
some Yahoo
just
will
sort
try
of invites
it.
People who don't know how to navigate to undertake something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Good point. Well, Peter, what did you see in 2019?
Well, just to comment on David's Wind River High Route, which I think we're all really enthusiastic about because it touches home for us, and it's just a super fantastic, one of the best routes anywhere. You know, I was very impressed with that too, and I don't expect it to do terribly well among the voters just because you kind of really have to have been there to know what it means.
Interesting point.
Yeah.
Interesting point. So just to clarify, the voters created a list of 36 people of hopefully all ages, genders, and geography. You know, people from the East, old people, young people, female, male. 24 people voted this year. I don't prod people to vote. I figure if they're not interested, then I don't care about their vote. But as Peter said, that's an interesting point. You have to understand some of these routes.
Yeah.
And so what happens is some of the higher vote totals can be of well-known routes, simply because they identify with it.
Like somebody might look at the Wind River High Route and say, oh, well, it's the same distance pretty much as Nolan.
Right.
And, you know, how could it be much, you know,
yeah.
What's the record on Nolan's 48 hours or something?
Right.
And this is slower, so.
Right.
But this is.
If you just look at the stats, it's deceptive.
So, Buzz, tell us a little bit more. So, I think, the numbers I remember seeing, you guys reported, over 600 FKTs this year.
You're right. As a matter of fact, I originally wrote.
For North America.
For North America.
Just for North America. Okay.
There's an article right now on the website, so people can go to that article. And then that article gives the entire nominations list.
Okay.
So everyone listening to this can see who they would have voted for. All 39 people, 19 female and 20 male, who were nominated are on that article. And in that article, I said there were 641 FKTs submitted in North America. But that was like 2 weeks before the new year closed, so it's actually 661 FKTs in North America.
It's quite a thing it's become. That's amazing. So then who whittles it down to 40 or so?
That would be mainly me. So largely the answer to Buzz's question is what caught my attention is this list, because I mostly... Okay. Go through those 600 and whatever captures my imagination gets
so
on this list.
So what are other you people can for? Like, what are the big things that jump out to
well,
you?
Well, I would
because it's a pretty good range of it's East Coast, it's West Coast, it's off trail, on trail, it's peak bagging, it's trade routes, it's the longest thing on here is
the Arizona Trail probably.
Okay. Down to like something that's a couple hours.
Yep.
So what are you trying to like curate a list that's sort of representative of the FKTs as a whole, or are you looking for particular things?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Sometimes it's just sort of, wow, that was neat. If somebody does something new that's really cool and hard, that will catch my attention. Or like the Wind River High Route, I kind of have some sense what that means. But then there's, if somebody does the Arizona Trail way faster than the last guy, you know, that's an established route, which has a fairly long history of FKTs. So if somebody really moves the bar on something like that, that'll make the nominees. And then, you know, other people can also, so we put the list out and kind of ask around. We put the list out to the voters, actually, before it becomes public, and they can say, hey, what about this? Which does happen and did actually happen this year. So
yes, we had a late edition this year.
Okay.
But that's a really good question. And so, again, people listening to this should go on the website and look at the nominations list, and they are quite representational. Like you say, it's non-technical, fast stuff. It's right. Long stuff. It's very technical.
So, Peter and Buzz, since you guys look at like all of these that are coming in, or most of them, like, do you see, are there trends that you're seeing in FKTs? Like, are you seeing, like, shorter, longer, harder? Like, what's the...
Well, every once in a while, something catches on. Peter, you and I know what route that is. That for some unknown reason, maybe other people think it's totally obvious, but for us, it's a little odd. One particular route is caught on.
I think you're talking about the Rainier Infinity Loop, which is something that Chad Kellogg dreamed up a long time ago, and then nobody did it for a long time until just a couple of 3 years ago. It was finally completed, and... So I should explain what it is. So there's this lovely trail that goes around Mount Rainier for 93 miles called the Wonderland Trail. So you start at the trailhead, you go up over to the top of Rainier and down the other side, and then you run back on the Wonderland Trail, doing half of the Wonderland Trail. And then you go over the top of Rainier again, down the other side, and run back the other direction on the Wonderland Trail. So it's like a figure eight infinity symbol.
Okay.
And I think names are key.
Yeah.
Well, don't you?
I mean
the route, the route's cool. You have to have a good route, but the name of the route,
the name makes you go, huh, what is that?
Yeah.
Right.
That sounds cool.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And I mean, are one for names.
I am one for names.
Yeah.
But I think Chad probably called it.
Oh, Chad and, definitely named it. And it wasn't done until 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And
now it's just picked up.
Now, there's multiple FK attempts on it each year.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other infinity loop type of
I think somebody did...
Hood.
Hood?
Well, I don't mean, I mean ones that are similar, but other routes where you're... Other routes that just seem to just get lots of FKT attention.
You mean like just all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, but I think one that is on our list this year that hasn't got a lot of FKT attention, but will... is Norman's 13. So we just talked about Nolan's. Nolan's is something a lot of people probably know.
Norman's is very cool.
So Nolan's is in the Colorado Rockies. You climb 14-14ers all strung together. So a couple of years ago, somebody came up with this thing called Norman's 13. So it's climbing 13-14ers in the Sierra Nevada. And it's Norman after Norman Clyde.
Norman Clyde.
So that was first finished this year by Ryan Tetz, and it's on our list. And very impressive time, actually. And much, much harder than Nolan's.
You mean there aren't, like, jeep roads?
Well, there's fifth class
after every peak, and they're basically just high rock piles.
Yeah, there's serious... climbing on this.
Well, just to clarify, so that the Nolan's challenge is 60 hours. That was the whole game.
Yeah.
It had to be done with it. How many 14ers can you do within 60 hours was the Nolan's challenge, named after Fred Nolan. Now, Norman's is cooler because it's named after Norman Clyde, a major Sierra Nevada climbing pioneer. And it's the same thing. How many California 14ers can you do within 60 hours? And you can't do 14, but you can do 13. then as Peter and you noted, they're harder. There's some fifth class there.
So the one that you can't do is Shasta. It's way
Shasta and White Mountain.
White Mountain
there's,
is
there's 15
right,
total.
That, so okay, that makes sense too. Right, because White Mountain is way to the east of the Sierra.
So these are all linked together without any vehicle shuttle in between anywhere and stuff like that.
So I think Peter just said we'd like to see more activity on Norman's 13 next year. We're near Infinity Loop scene quite a bit. And here's some interesting stats. So for the first 3 years, the John Muir Trail, Nolan's 14, and the Rim to Rim to Rim in the Grand Canyon all had 4 FKTs in our nominations list, and the Appalachian Trail had 3. In 2019, none of those 4 routes had any. Hmm. So there's a sea change taking place. Different things are happening. People are doing different routes, and it could just be because Walmsley's rim to rim, and it's just too fast. I mean, hard. People are going, forget it.
Who's going to go get that?
And Francois Dion and Darcy's JMT, forget it.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Even the unsupported JMT has become super, super duper fast.
Right. And of course, Carol Sabe on the Appalachian Trail. Right. Forget it.
Well, the other thing too about like the Appalachian Trail or any of the long ones. I mean, where you're looking at, I mean, what's the 40 plus days, right?
Yeah, 41 and the 18.
I mean, the number of people who are interested in doing that is just
right.
It's just limited.
You're right. Either in your 20s or your 60s.
And if you're in your 60s, you're not going to get that.
Yeah, it's either pre-career or post-careers for the big... Well, pardon me if I'm generalizing, but opinions are okay.
Yeah. So you get 600 FKTs for the year, but you end up with nominating 40. So that leaves 600 that you didn't nominate. So what do those tend to look like? Are those more like local? Are they a lot of like first known times? Are they just... shorter efforts don't like typical nature of those?
You've outlined a lot of them.
Okay.
For sure. They would be, and a lot of FKT activity is just that, somebody finds a cool trail or route in their hood and they go do it. That's just classic FKT stuff.
Right.
So either it doesn't seem that fast because it's on a trail and it's, how fast people can run trails. Or we don't know because only one person did it. Right. So,
And there's failures.
Yep.
I mean, people go for the AZT all the time, actually, and they come up short. They don't make it.
Do you hear about those?
Yep. Usually, especially if it's a long, people tend to, we encourage people to announce in advance when they're doing long things like the Arizona Trail, let's say. And then they'll give their tracker link and we'll be following along. And then, if people fail, we'll know about it.
Okay.
And actually, personally, it would be great if we could have a better way of reporting failures, because I think a lot of it, we can all learn so much from other people's failures and as we do from our own.
Right.
So we don't have a great way of doing that, but we do encourage people to post, like in the comments section of a route page or whatnot.
Failures are a big deal, right?
Yeah, I've learned a lot from my failed route attempts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually it's the first one that's the hardest. That was actually one of the more impressive, anyone who like on-sites these things, like especially the more adventurous ones, it's like on-siting like a hard route, like rock climb, right?
Yeah.
It's another level of...
the navigation is much harder. Right. The logistics are harder. You're not sure what gear to take.
Exactly.
You're not sure what technical difficulties you might encounter.
Yeah. Well, it's before we started, I was reading the Wind River High Route FKT report. And he took a wrong turn somewhere. I haven't made it to that part of the report in like 3 miles in the wrong direction. So...
Yeah. That's discouraging.
Yeah.
Well, and what something that stood out for me is just the guys and gals are just going for it now. And what I really like is that I've never heard of them. Literally. Mm-hmm. I don't know who these people are. I've never heard of these people.
Yep.
And indeed, when I consult the list, I'm going back again the previous 3 years, and Joe Grant and Jim Walmsley both had three on the nominations list. Mm-hmm. Andrew Hamilton's the only person who'd run twice, but Ryan Gelfi, Nick Eldson, Tim Frericks, they all had been on nominated twice. Mm-hmm. And of those six men I just mentioned, none of them were nominated this year. So it's turned over.
Yeah.
It's a new crop of people, and this is sort of exciting. So now you see people like Ryan Atkins. He's now been nominated three times back east, mm-hmm. an Adirondack specialist. And then we have Jason Hardrath,
and he's been on a tear.
He's, as someone said, I think Craig said, "Can I have some of your stope, Jason?" Yeah, he did the Rainier Infinity Loop solo, mm-hmm. only person to ever done that, like 10 days after the Cascade Trifecta FKT.
Both of which are on the nomination list.
Yeah, both of
and
which.
And then just got email from him today that he, speaking of failures, that he failed to do the off-trail Death Valley Traverse. It's like,
but that's north to south, mm-hmm. not east to west.
Right.
East to west is semi-reasonable. But north to south Death Valley, it's not really reasonable at all.
That's what he found. That's what he reported. Well, he reported that it was brutal and terrible and awful, and that he will definitely go back and do it again. Try it again.
Right, exactly. His quote was, "I got my ass kicked in so many ways." First sentence, last sentence is, "P.S. Yes, I will do it again."
So that's the stoke.
That's the stoke factor. Well, what else? How about on the female side of this? What do we say? One thing that we caught from our podcast with Peter two podcasts ago, one of the trends is that the ladies are getting out more solo. You know, for the first couple of years, I mean, the talent has been there all along. Mm-hmm. That was never in question. Super fast, super strong. But the sometimes did the technical routes with maybe their boyfriends or a male partner, often did routes with another female, but now more and more the ladies are going solo, sometimes unsupported, and that's definitely a trend.
Yep. I liked seeing that. For myself, I was really impressed with the California 14ers, Renee Jacobs, doing all the 14ers in California by herself. She had support between the trailheads, but she did all the climbs, I think, except for Shasta herself. And she just had company on Shasta just because her partner just wanted to do the peak and hadn't done it. So, she did the difficult Palisades Traverse on her own. And so I really liked seeing that.
Palisades Traverse is non-trivial.
Yeah. Yeah, the standard thing is the summit block of one of those peaks is hard.
It's, Thunderbolt.
Yeah, I think it's like 5'9" or something. And the standard thing is people kind of lasso it with a rope and then kind of crank themselves up on the rope. So, she's out there with a rope trying to lasso the summit of this thing.
Right. Andrew, on the female side, what moved or didn't move you?
Well, the two longest on the list are the Arizona Trail at 17 days, which is Helen Galerkis. And then we have at, I think it's 8 days, Arlette Land did the New Hampshire 4,000 footers.
As a through hike, so.
Yeah, both as through hikes. And, as a former through hiker,
Are you a former through hiker now?
Yeah, I'm a former through hiker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now he's married and has a cat.
Yeah, and own a home and have a guiding business
and a cat.
And a cat. It's the cat.
It's the cat.
Keeps me home.
Right.
So 17 days is just such a long time to be out there. I don't know how many hours a day, but probably 16 to 18 hours a day, maybe even more. Mm-hmm. Maybe 18 to 20 hours a day for 17 days. That is just a long time to be pushing.
Yeah.
And you know, opportunities for injury come up. They're like, it's, you know, it's a supported effort, so there are logistical snafus that could happen. Those are always impressive. The I'm not sure I totally understand the unsupported New Hampshire 4,000 footers.
Right.
Just because it seems like you would have to be on a lot of roadways to make that happen. And like, and I get the doing something unsupported, but I don't get doing something that is more difficult than it has to be.
Right. That's an interesting distinction, isn't it?
Yeah.
In other words, unsupported is a pure style. It's a classic style. Right. But if you're crossing roads, then you're kind of making it hard.
Yeah, or walking along roads. Or
yeah. I don't know what the route is, but if you you know, if you walk next to it, past a store, you might as well go in and buy some food.
I just can't imagine like walking past like some like, you know, rural New Hampshire like dairy farm ice cream and like not stopping because I'm on a unsupported 4,000 foot trip. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't do that myself, but that's just me. I'm the old guy around here.
Actually, what I'm reminded about is because Dimitri Kupinas doing...
there goes Go Buzz. Now this podcast just got a lot longer.
The founder of GoLife back in 2003, Coop, Kim, and I, Coop's wife, went down to Durango. Coop was going to try to do the Colorado Trail unsupported starting in Durango.
Now, this listeners should know that unsupported means he's carrying all the food on his back start to finish. And that includes crossing I-70 part of the time. You know, it's
the Colorado Trail doesn't cross I-70, but you do have to like walk right through like twin...
Yeah, right underneath that copper. Goes right underneath.
Oh, that's true. Right, it drops right to copper. Right. So like in copper, like, and this is classic, so Coop would have been... you know, he would have been probably like, I think he was trying to do it in 15 days. So he probably would have been like 12 days into this trip. He would have been like hungry, solidly hungry for at least a week. And I know that you can walk right into the base of Copper Mountain and buy like a cheeseburger and brownies and coffee.
Yeah.
And
you walk right through Breckenridge.
Yeah.
But he did it.
A couple years later, yeah. Yeah, boy, that was like at the very beginning. I mean, that was like, I remember at the time... It was an outlandish idea.
Interesting.
Outlandish.
Well, and it took, I think it took him 19 days, if I remember right. Maybe it was 16, but that's a lot of food to carry. Now, the unsupported speed record on the Colorado Trail is, I think, around 9 days, which is still a lot. But then it starts to make sense to save time by not, you know,
9 days of food. I mean, 9 days of food sounds like feels like a lot to a lot of people, but. It's actually not that much. I mean,
it's 20 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, if you're accustomed to wilderness travel, 9 days of food is like, as a thru hiker, I was always like, 9 days of food? No way.
No, absolutely. Thru hikers don't do that.
No, like 4 or 5 days max.
Right.
But, you know, now, like, yeah, I put 9 days of food on my back, and I'm like, sweet. I'm like, you know, you can go anywhere in 9 days.
Right.
Like,
a pound of chocolate and a pound of everything else per day.
Yep.
Well, Coop, of course, this is a major digression, but you know what I'm going to digress to next in terms of unsupported. He did try. You know,
let's go there. Sure.
There. I was trying to resist.
Because that would have been the FKT of all time.
Yes.
Not even.
Right.
Just,
when he tried the entire Appalachian Trail unsupported, carrying all his own food start to finish on the AT.
That's crazy.
Ready for the punchline? Ready for the punchline?
How far did he get?
That is the important question. How far did he get, Buzz?
Well, you have to. I don't think that's the punchline. To me, the most interesting aspect is that Coop is a math genius, as you know.
Yes.
He's literally a math genius.
Yeah.
He can make his living as a mathematician. So he calculated. He extended the equation, Peter. It wasn't just how many calories can you carry on your back. He added that to how many calories could you burn off your body.
Sure,
And so he weighted up. He added weight in advance of this to burn fat during the trip. But, of course, that means you're just in misery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, it's much more satisfying to eat a pound of chocolate than to eat a pound of belly fat. Yeah.
So that one didn't last very long.
No, it lasted exactly 30 miles.
Yeah.
So. Still, that's walking 30 miles, you must have had like 100 pound fat.
It was, yeah.
I heard it was 110.
He had a second sleeping bag to insulate his food at night. Because he had had some food rotting issues on a trip prior. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you better go back to 2019 here.
Yeah. We kind of were all three not super enthusiastic about the through hike of the New Hampshire 4000ers. But to be fair, that's kind of a thing. A lot of people, quite a few people, have gone after that FKT, and it's on both the women's and the men's list. So
right.
Yeah.
You know, we don't live there. We don't really know what the scene is. And
I was going to actually mention that. So I was thinking about this today. You have to remember, this is the part of the country where they like gritting is a thing.
Gritting's right? a thing.
Yes. So it's like a legitimate project to attempt to hike every mile of trail in the White Mountains.
Yeah, so there's a name. There's sort I of think this, that's on our website.
Yeah,
it's called
remember.
The Red Line.
The Red Line, yeah.
Yeah, White Mountains.
So
National
there's
Forest,
sort of this
Red Line.
Culture of
well, one way to look at it is if you're in the East, you're probably not going to do something the first time. So you have to work it in a different way.
Right.
Because it's human nature to extend the boundaries to see what you can do. And out West, you do new routes.
Yeah.
The Wind River High Route, again, that's very new. Nate Bender last year won an award for his Montana 12s.
Yeah.
But if you go back East, that's going to be a little tougher to come up with. So instead, you go fast.
Right.
And so the Pemi, of course, the Pemigewasset Loop and the Presidential Traverse, the Hut to Hut, these are really fast. They throw down.
Mm-hmm. When I look at those records, there's a women's record that was Lydia Gill this year at 4 hours, 58 minutes.
And the Prezi.
I don't know how you do that without falling on your face. I mean, that is just 5 hours of rock hopping.
Good point. Yeah. And indeed, for the females, there's two. The two I mentioned, the Pemi and the Prezi, are both been nominated this year. So again, listeners should go to the website and look at the nominations list and see who you might have voted for.
Yeah, so those two are probably the most competitive one-day FKTs in New England, I would say, for trail runs. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the trails are really rough.
Yeah, yeah.
And so any FKT on those is probably going to make the nomination list because they're no joke.
Right. Well, something we've mentioned on this podcast previously is that out West, certainly in Colorado, the whole Rocky Mountains, and I think also California, all trails were built by stock animals.
Hmm.
Horses and mules built all the trails, and they were built for stock animals. So they always had this thing called switchbacks. This grade, because the stock animals are most efficient at a particular grade. Out East, nothing was made for stock animals. You just went from the bottom to the top. So the trails are much steeper.
It's more than that, though. It's a function of the geology, and it's a function of, even if you did build switchbacks in the White Mountains, it still would all be rocks. And then there's also a massive erosion issue that they have there.
Mm-hmm. So. It tends to rain.
Yeah.
So the rocks are rounded and slippery.
Yeah.
The FKT that you mentioned, the New Hampshire 4,000 footers, there's 48 4,000 footers in New Hampshire. And this woman, Arlette Lahn, summited them all in one continuous push. Took 9 days, unsupported. So it's an interesting way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that'd be tough if you're in a different state. But New Hampshire, you can do everything in that state in one push.
Yeah. And it probably does give you, by staying on foot, it definitely gives you, a more consistent, sort of coherent perspective of an area. When you're in a car and driving all around, you sort of lose geographic reference.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on foot, you sort of understand the topography a little bit more.
That's a good point. And Peter and I have often not been super happy about the Colorado 14ers. Now, the Colorado 14ers have been a very competitive, hard sought after event, but it tends to be a logistical challenge.
Yeah.
You need the without the crew, it doesn't work. because you need someone to drive you to all the trailheads. Yeah. And Arlette didn't have anyone to drive her. Right. She just walked to all the trailheads. Yeah. So that's a very good style. Yeah.
Well, that's like when Justin Simone and Jeff and Joe Grant did the Colorado 14ers by bike.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, I'm trying to remember their names now, it was two guys who did all the Colorado 14ers
through hike
foot.
Style.
Yeah, through hike style. Very cool. That it's a lot of road walking, but... Yeah.
And I remember this famous hiker, Andrew Skirka, called that the through hike of the year.
Yeah, I thought it was a neat trip.
Yeah.
Because it was a refreshing change from the car thing in Colorado.
Right.
But I think what tripped us up on the through hike of the 4,000 footers is just the non-resupply question. Because if you're walking by a store, you might as well buy something.
Right. But, yeah. Well, here's a clarification. I think most people know this, but we don't assign value. This is a key point. So fastknowntime.com simply reports everything that takes place. And some people argue about supported, unsupported, mm-hmm. self-supported. We do not do that. We never do that. Now, when the voters vote, they might do that, which is perfectly fine. So when the instructions go out to the voters, it says, vote for what moves you, what you thought was had meaning for you. So everyone does their own thing. So it's a community. There's no other instructions given. And certainly, I can just state this, fastestknowntime.com will never assign value to supported versus unsupported, solo versus team, mm-hmm. and things like that. We are simply a database that is entirely fair and unbiased. And then the voters vote for whoever they like. And I should note on the process that it's just a simple numerical game. You know, people say number 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 for male and female. They do 10 votes. Each of those gets a number. I add up the numbers. High votes win. So there's nothing happening on the backside whatsoever. This is very, very important for me, who extremely values our site as being unalterably fair and unbiased. So when people cast their votes, it's just a number, it goes in the database, highest vote wins, end of discussion.
So when do we find out who won?
Well, that's coming up very soon. We're going to start our countdown. This podcast is being released on January 3rd, Friday as always, and then on January 10th, we're going to do number 5, number 4, and number 3, male and female. So we'll announce the 6 people on the podcast January 10th.
And hopefully you'll interview some of them.
Right. Hopefully I'll interview some of them. They get their comments. They'll get to win. They'll learn that they won that giant prize, that mm-hmm. vacation for 3 to Fiji.
To wherever they happen to live.
For 3.
Yeah.
For 3.
Right, their cat, too.
Okay.
We just pull out the stops in these awards, you know. It's just
it's a
huge amount of money involved.
Big budget that you guys
big
have.
Budget. Yeah. Huge budget. As Peter noted, vacation for however many you want to where you already live. And then on January 17th, it's number 2 and number 1 for both male and female.
Okay.
And followed on social media, and there'll be articles on the website, because it's really fun to click through. I mean, you click through this stuff, and their stories are amazing. They have photos and trip reports. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
Yeah, just today I put that trip report up from the Wind River High Route that we've been talking about on the website, and it was it's bad formatting on the website, but people will... It's amazing trip report, so it's worth reading that.
Well, what are you seeing now for, we could say this right now, what the heck, 2020. Peter mentioned that you want to see something on Norman's 13. There's probably going to be more Rainier Infinity Loops.
Yep.
That's totally caught on. There's a, like you said, there's a Mount Adams Infinity Loop, I think.
Mm-hmm. I remember something like that.
How about you, Andrew? What's moving you now? No more through hikes.
I would actually love to see more FKT attempts on the high routes.
Mm.
I say that like with a little bit of hesitation, because on one hand, like when I was reading through the Wind River FKT, I was like, man, it's a shame that you spent half your time in the dark, because it's such an amazing route.
Like, it's
why
stunning.
Why would you like be in like just see what you could by headlamp. It's sort of tragedy. On the other hand,
we really had the opportunity to win tons of money through this award.
Right. So I think individuals who have done a high route before, or have done like a particular high route, like maybe they go back and give it a whirl. Remember when help me out, what the guy who did the Sierra high route a couple years ago? Holy cow, he's in California. Lior.
Mm-hmm. Lior Pantelat.
Right. So Lior, and but he'd already done the Sierra high route at least once, probably more than that, and he'd done many sections of it, I'm sure, two or three times. And then he went and did it. It was as kind of an FKT, just kind of threw it down. I think that's neat. I'd love to see a little bit more of that.
Well, you and I had basically the fastest time on the Sierra high route, 8 days.
Yeah, we just, that wasn't.
But we were doing it through hiker style.
Yeah, we were
through hiker
ourselves.
Style was we woke up when it got light, right. And we stopped before it got dark every night. We did it full through hiker style. And I thought, okay, now that I've seen this, it'd be fun to go back and do it for time.
Yeah.
But it would be hard to have gone for time the first time because you miss it.
You miss it, and there's just too much that you need to know about the route. It's very route specific. It's not just a trail that you're following.
Right. Yeah. Okay, more high traverses. Mm. There's high traverses. They're out there.
Yep.
Okay, Peter, what
would you like to see, Buzz?
Well, I think I'd like to do the Wind River High Route myself. It's been...
I've been talking about it.
There's a good guidebook for it.
There's a guidebook for it. AndrewSkirka.com, or I already said that. I think the same sort... Well, I think I like the mix. I'm sorry. You asked me the question, and I'm delighted with the mix. You know, when someone just does the Prezi in 4 hours, that's really fun, isn't it? And then a woman does the California 14ers. That's really fun. It's all good to me. Someone just submitted a route. Peter, you saw this today. I'm not saying I think people should do this, but this gives listeners an example of what you and I see all the time. We get submissions twice, three times a day, even in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
And someone submitted Disneyland to Disney World. Right. Okay, this is Orlando, Florida to Anaheim, California. That's their route submissions.
Can you use a plane?
Well, no. Plane would be against the rules.
Oh.
Right. And so people are creating like airport to airport. And there's some urban FKTs out there now.
Interesting urban ones. And it gets a little tricky because it can start to get a little arbitrary when you're running between, sort of like landmarks. But Disneyland to Disney World is sort of like, kind of makes sense.
Right. And Peter doesn't turn a lot down, but we do turn some down.
Yeah, if you can't explain to me why it makes sense, then I probably wouldn't put it on the website.
Right.
So I'm not going to put something from, Andrew's mailbox to Buzz's house or something like that.
Right. Okay. Good. Well, again, January 10th, number 5, 4, and 3, and January 7th, number 2 and number 1, so stay tuned. And here's some comments from two of the people we mentioned. One is a comment from David, from the Wind River High Route person. He said, FKTs never crossed my mind until this past August. It's since redefined my imagination, which has been exciting. I really appreciate the site with its relatively non-branded demeanor and corresponding community it frames, encouraging ample creativity. That's it's
poetic.
That's how we look at it.
I like hearing it because that's why we established the website, for exactly that reason. So,
and then Nika, Nika's on the nominations list. And
early bird.
See, this is, okay, here's a tip. Here's one more tip. If you're doing a new route, give it a cool name. That will help in the voting. Secondly, if you have a nickname, it's conceivable that will help too.
That's a trail name, yeah.
Right, if you have a trail name.
Mm-hmm. Like legend.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Nika Early Bird Myers said, there are many wonderful FKTs this year, and I am lucky to be a part of such an incredible community. I very much enjoy listening to the podcast. This is good. Good to hear, isn't it? And following along on others' adventures. It is an awesome space you and your team have created. Thank you again, and I look forward to learning more about other FKTers who are on this list and off this list in 2020.
Cool. Very cool.
That's about says it.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Now Andrew's going to tell us his trail name.
No, I dropped it. I was Paul Revere on the Appalachian Trail. And then when I did the C2C route, I just knew that if I walked into like small towns in North Dakota and introduced myself to farmers as Paul Revere, that it just wasn't going to go over very well. So just went back to Andrew.
You had to go straight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, that's fair enough. Look forward to next time, gentlemen.
Okay. Thank you, Buzz.